turn the recorder on. We're talking, thinking about walking through life together in Christ, discipling others. And just as we start, I'm going to pray, and then there's going to be two questions for you to think through. So let me just pray. Heavenly Father, please help us now as we come to your word, as we think about how it is that we can best follow Jesus side by side, walking through life together, encouraging one another and challenging one another as we look forward to the inheritance we have in Christ. Help us even now as we are chatting together to be growing closer in our relationships with one another. May this be in itself both a spur on and for us all as we go on in our lives of discipleship. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we start though, we've got two quick questions, 5 minutes in groups for you to be thinking through just to get into this whole idea of what is discipleship. So you'll see the questions at the top of your handout. First of all, what have you valued in relationships with other Christians, both close friends and in wider church family? And second, how and why have these things been so precious over the years? So 5 minutes in threes and fours across your tables, just have a think about those questions. Then we'll briefly feedback before diving into the main bulk of this seminar. Go. All right, if I could just gather us back together. Just a few people. Can you just maybe shout out one or two people? What have you most valued in relationships with Christian friends, both in and out of the church family?
Being able to pray together.
Being able to pray together, yeah. Thanks, Dan. And why in particular? Why is that so valuable, have you found?
Because praying is the most fundamental way through which we express our faith. And you can't really do that with people who don't share it.
Yeah, it's a really special privilege to be able to pray together. I imagine quite a lot of us also had, that were thinking about prayer. What other things came up? What other things have we really valued?
Like people that can hold you accountable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's really helpful having people who are as interested in your Christian walk as you are, really helping you to grow in Christ. Do we have one more maybe?
Advice?
Mm-hmm.
For general, but like just your questions or something that you
need to sign down. Yeah. No, yeah, it's a great blessing being in a Christian family. Where you have people of all ages who are able to share their experiences in life, the wisdom they have from years of walking with Christ. Well, we're going to dive into the main bulk of the seminar. Just to give you a lay of the land, I'm going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a disciple, and then I'm going to hand over to Kirsty, who's going to tell us a bit about what practical discipleship, discipling one another, looks like in practice. And then finally, we've got to have a few top tips at the end. It's just really encouraging to hear some of those, listening into some of your conversations and hearing some of that feedback, because essentially the things that we're expressing are, well, just the regular blessings of discipleship. The things that we've appreciated in our Christian friendships are exactly the things that we should be looking for and longing for in discipleship as we walk through life together, following Christ's footsteps. Now, as we focus into this, it's helpful for us to first look at what Jesus himself says about discipleship. So you'll see there's the quote from Matthew's Gospel at the top of your handout. And let me just read this out for us. Then Jesus came and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Imagine that that verse is quite familiar to a lot of us, but I thought, just to start, I'm going to make a few quick observations about that verse, what we learn about discipleship. You've got them, a few bullet points down your handout. So first of all, we see Jesus defines discipleship for us in this verse. He says, it's go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them. There are two stages of discipleship, you might say, inviting people to come and meet Jesus, and then helping them, all who choose to follow him, to listen to him more and obey him more. And we've devoted other seminars and student lunches and time to thinking about the evangelism side. And so in this seminar, we're primarily going to be thinking about what discipleship within the Christian family looks like, discipleship one to another. Second, Jesus commands discipleship for us. it might be easy to think sometimes that discipleship is just something maybe one of the members of staff does when they meet together with a student and read one-to-one. But actually we see Jesus commands all his disciples here to tell people about him, to teach people to obey him. And he also commands us, every single one of us. Discipleship is the task in its very nature, the task of a disciple. Every one of us should be disciple-making disciples by definition. And that's a big challenge for us. And we see actually that the challenge is only greater when we see who we're meant to be discipling. Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, we might immediately think, okay, all nations in the world, but we also have to remember that is every type of person. We're not going to, we'll come more onto this later, but actually we're to disciple everyone who is part of the Christian family, not just our friends, but all of the people who are in this church family who've been gathered together under the name of Christ, all those who are trusting in him. We're to disciple all nations, every one of us. So that's number three. And number four, we've got Jesus is the focus of discipleship. We make disciples of Jesus, not ourselves. And I think that's really helpful because it can be easy to think, well, I'm only a new Christian. I'm only a weak Christian. I don't have much to say, much advice to give, much wisdom. But actually, we're not making disciples of ourselves. We're not saying, look at me. We're saying, look at Christ. And so actually, it doesn't matter what where we feel we are on the on our walk as Christians. Actually, our task is to be helping other people to look to Christ, not to ourselves. And that's the task for everyone, whether you've been a Christian for a month or whether you've been a Christian for 40 years or so. So it's just really helpful. Remember, we're looking at Christ. And finally, Jesus is with us in discipleship. Do you notice the last line there? He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is a wonderful promise that even as we walk through the Christian life, even as we hold hands with other people, helping them to walk through it, as it were, Christ is with us. He's gone before us in setting the path. He's there that we're looking forward to. But he's also with us by his Spirit, helping us on that walk. We're not on our own, but this is the one who is the Lord of the cosmos has handpicked all of us to be his disciple makers, to be going into the world, and he is promising to be with us, strengthening us by his power. And that should be a great encouragement. Even as we come and we're discussing these things that may seem challenging, that may seem going out of our comfort zone, we have the Lord of all creation who is walking with us in this. Now, before we look a bit more about what discipling one another looks like practically, we thought it would be better, good to first start and think about what does it look like for us as individuals to be a disciple. And so you'll see on your handout under the heading of what does it mean to be a disciple, there's a bunch of headings. We're going to split them into groups in a second, but it's really helpful to think about what a disciple is, so then we can know what we should be as disciples, and also what we can help other people to be. So, eight headings there. I'm going to split you into four groups, or you could split into smaller groups from there. But if this table here on my left, you can be looking at the first one, Mark 1:17 and Luke 14:27. We'll go for the back two-thirds of the middle table. Can be looking at the second one, so Luke 10:38-42, and that should say 1 John 3:23-26. Typo is my mistake. So that's the back two-thirds of the middle table. The front of the middle table and the front of this table here, can you look at number three? So that's Romans 8:28 and the Philippians 3. And then the back section, so from Bethan to the end, can you look at number four? That's the Ephesians and the John. And so in your passages, read them in your heads. It'll go quicker that way. And then ask yourself the question, what do these passages teach me about what a disciple is? And then just jot down everything you can next to those verses. 5 minutes, and then we'll feedback. I think that's a natural lull, which means people want to come and talk to me instead of each other. So what have we got? if we can start with this table over here, what have we seen about what it means to be a disciple? Anyone? First group.
We talked about it. entire life.
Okay.
It's a reorientation of your goal. So they were fishermen,
mm-hmm.
fishing for fish, and then Christ reorientated their entire life to make him the goal and to make discipleship then their new mission and new task.
Mm. Yeah, it becomes the overriding bracket, the consuming force in their life. They're to be disciples fishing for men rather than, yeah, that is their whole job of their lives now. Yeah, you're right. What else do we have? David, you got chucked under the bus.
Well, we were just talking about the act of fishing. We go out and they try it. I think it's kind of like you try more than once. So, like, if you stay. So, instead of just like going there and like telling them the gospel just once and if you aren't interested, you kind of need to be persistent and trying and trusting that as we whatever.
Yeah, so discipleship is a thing we ongoingly practice and do. Is that.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's certainly true. We're going to come on to more looking at that again as well. What other things we see characterize discipleship? Go for it, Ailey.
Okay, in the Luke verse,
yeah,
we talked about how carrying your cross, that was a very public sort of thing, and you could be exposed as, to kind of swear and everything as you were carrying. It wasn't like you just kind of had your public execution all of a sudden on the hill.
Mm.
So there's a very kind of public aspect following Jesus.
Yeah, so Jesus calls people to follow him. Fundamentally, a disciple is someone who follows him. We see that there's takes their up their whole life, and Haley helpfully added from that Luke verse, Jesus says that those who follow him are to follow him as he's led by denying themselves, taking up their cross and following him. That's a big topic that I'd love to talk about more later, but basically Jesus is there saying that disciples make him their number one priority and are willing to suffer loss of everything else in order to follow Jesus. But I'd love to talk more about that in particular with you guys later. Can we move on to the second group, which I think is back 2/3 of the middle table? What have we learned in those two verses about discipleship?
From the Luke 10?
From the Luke 10 and John 3. 1 John 3.
Yeah, Luke 1 says, like, it's quite interesting, because like, even though like, Martha thought she was doing something good, she thought she was serving the Lord, it's more important for her to actually go and sit.
Mm. Yeah, there's that priority of listening. A disciple is one who listens to Jesus. That's right at the core. And you see that across the passages in the New Testament. Again and again, Jesus says, the ones who are my family are the ones who are listening to me. What else do we find?
Like to have your focus on Jesus and not to get distracted by earthly.
Yeah, you contrasting there Mary and Martha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very easy for the business of the world to take our attention away, and Jesus there tells Mary that she's chosen the better thing, which is listening to him. This is what else do we need but to listen to the one who whose words are the words of life. What else? Anyone thoughts from the 1 John passage?
Love each other.
Yeah. And there's also an element there of love being an overflow of discipleship and part of keeping God's commands. So a disciple is someone who listens to Jesus and who puts that listening into practice by actively obeying him. And a big part of that is loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. For the sake of time, can we go on to the third group now? So it's these two tables. What have we seen from the Romans passage?
It talks about how to be conformed to the image of the Son, and it sort of links with the one in chapter 12 as well, like we aren't to conform to the parts of the world, but instead like disciples should be seeking to become more and more like Jesus, like in every aspect of their lives.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I love those verses. It's just you have the Christian there, someone who is being transformed, molded more and more to be like Christ. And as you said, it's in contrast to being molded to be like the world. So a Christian is someone who is like Christ, not like the world. Any other things, maybe this table, anything you want to add to that?
I mean, a lot of it is what you just said, in terms of talking about being transformed, being set apart.
Mm.
That is Christ's work, being transformed by Christ to be then
Yeah, no, exactly. It's really exciting as to know that we're being transformed to be more like Christ. Yeah, I find that really exciting in my own discipleship. And finally, back section there, the Ephesians and John passages. What do we learn about a disciple there? Yeah.
Which is very individualistic.
Mm.
But in contrast to that, we as the church are to be encouraging each other and growing together.
Mm.
So the church is God's people, community, actively pursuing holiness.
Mm.
And so that God can dwell with them.
Yeah, very helpful. Very helpful. We're disciples are a family. They're a family who is brought together in Christ. Anything else? Other tables? Yeah, yeah. This family love. We're a family who loves like Jesus because Jesus has loved us. And there's also that element in which we're being built together into a temple in the Lord in that Ephesians passage by God's Spirit working in each one of us. Now that's really helpful. And keep all those things in mind because although this isn't an exhaustive list, it's a really helpful way of thinking. These are aspects of what a disciple should be like. And so then these are the things that actually want to see growing in ourselves and growing in our friends. So just to summarize, we are disciples are followers of Jesus, who listen to Jesus, who look like Jesus, and love one another as a family in Jesus. And that really should be the goal for ourselves. If we go away from here thinking anything, first of all, let's be thinking, this is what I want to be like. And hopefully that will overflow to seeing as we'll see, this is what I want my friends to be like as well. And as we pull together and stand firm as we've seen in Ephesians, that will mean pushing forward to that goal with one another. Now, I'm going to hand over to Kirsty, who's going to help us think about what this will look like practically in our relationships with one another. So, over to Kirsty.
Fab. So hopefully you're left asking that question of how can I be a disciple maker? And it's a fab question. The Bible doesn't keep us guessing, which is wonderful. It's got an absolute wealth of encouragement and instruction and example of what it looks like to disciple others. So we're going to go back into the same groups and have a look at a few of these wonderful examples. And we're looking at particularly two big questions, which are written on the flip side of your sheet, if you've all turned over, hopefully you have, about how does this going to look practically, both in our own giving out of discipleship, but also our own reaction and response to discipleship being offered to us. And then secondly, how is it going to shape our relationships with our brothers and sisters, both within our friendships and also our wider church family? And I think it'd be really great also if we could use that framework that Phil's really helpfully built up for us about what it looks like to be a disciple. So asking those questions of those passages, where can we see that there's an encouragement to follow Jesus, to listen to him, to look like him and to love others because of him. So if this group number one can do the first few passages, that would be fab. And then if group number two could do the next two, that'd be grand. And then group number three, if you come here and do Titus and the Hebrews passages, both of them. And then the back group could do Galatians and Ephesians. That'd be fab. Okay, I'm going to draw us back together there. You could go on for a very long time, and I highly recommend that you go and read all of these passages yourselves and mull on them and think about them, because they are all absolute gems. So group one, could you start us off with Philippians? What were your thoughts that you were sharing? I mean, you were talking, so I'm guessing there were thoughts.
I think in verse 7 he says, I am unchanged with defending and confirming the gospel. So it's talking about, it doesn't mean we all have to be in like physical chains in prison, but it's talking about how like we're serving each other and like how important that is. And like it talks about like he's yearning, like he longs for the day. He longs for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And he's praying with joy for them. So it's like something that overflows with the Christ-like love he has for them.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. That service, even when it's really hard, but rooted in profound love. Amazing. Other thoughts?
You praise them?
Fair. Do you want to extend that a bit further?
I mean, that on its own is quite a big challenge, because the number of people you can say, oh, I'll pray for you, and you don't. It's just really good to pray for each other, and we don't always do it.
Yeah, so he's got a passionate desire to like give them to the Lord.
Yeah.
That's really helpful. What other practical kind of examples do you give us?
He talks about the need to encourage each other, that he's telling the Philippians what they should look like, but he's also encouraging them that he has confidence that they're going to, you know, persist in the gospel.
Yeah, that's really exciting. So that tension between him seeking what they'll look like, but also his confidence that it's God who's going to work in them. And it's God who's going to bring them to maturity, which is such a joy, isn't it, for us, that we don't need to despair and we don't need to be proud of our discipleship, because it's in God's hands. Thank you so much. Yeah, massively helpful. So moving on to the Colossians passage, what did you think?
It's kind of, it says that we need to clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. So that's kind of seeing Christ is above us and us all as equals, and no one is more pious than the other, and no one is better. But it also says to teach and admonish one another. So it says that kind of truly loving each other as disciples is not letting our sins go unnoticed. It's helping each other, but also realizing that we're not the best Christian.
Yeah, that's incredibly helpful. Thank you so much, Samuel. It's the idea that we can help one another, but it doesn't mean we have to be perfect in order to do it. Actually, that the way we really love people is by keeping on pointing them towards Jesus, and that may mean correction, that may mean encouragement. That's a real joy. Any other thoughts on the Colossians passage?
We were saying it's very realistic, because the impulse is going to bear with one another and forgive one another, so we are going to be annoying and we are going to hurt one another. And so actually the Christ-like thing then is to bear that and forgive that. But that's just very profoundly realistic. So it's not saying the church is going to be this perfect community where, you know, it's such a lie. Love is saying, isn't it, never having to say you're sorry. No, actually, it's saying sorry all the time. Yeah, actually, that's quite reassuring for us.
Yeah. Yeah, fantastically realistic, I think. So just for the sake of time, we're going to move on to group two. Wonderful passage in 2 Timothy. What encouragements, what examples did that give you guys?
Kind of talking about how it's all focused on the word. So we're told to teach each other, rebuke each other, correct each other, but that all comes from the word, and that should be at the centre of all we say to each other.
Yeah. Isn't that such an encouragement, though, that like scripture's sufficient? So actually, even if I'm feeling really ill-equipped, or really young, or really sinful, actually it's not about us. We've got the entire source that we need to help encourage one another. That's a joy. Thank you. Other thoughts?
Yeah, talked about being ready to teach each other in season and out of season. We kept talking about what that means.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not really up to us to decide when we think it's going to be a good time to decide for each other or talk about stuff or have conversations. It's not really up to us to decide when it's the best time for that and when it's a bad time for that. We should always be willing to decide for each other.
Yeah, a massive challenge actually to speak both when your friend wants to hear it and when they really don't, actually, Paul says, in season, out of season. Yeah, thank you, Peter. Other thoughts? I think one that I just had from there, it talks about there'll be people with itching ears, and I was deeply challenged actually to ask, firstly ourselves the question, are we people with itching ears? Do we just surround ourselves in an echo chamber of people who will affirm any decision we make, even if it's against God? Or actually, are we seeking to hear God's truth spoken to us, even when that really, really hurts? I just found that really challenging in my own, like, how do I respond to discipleship? And what do you think about your second passage? I think you had another Colossians, didn't you?
Well, it kind of specifically talks about And so Paul, the pattern for his ministry is one in which basically he goes out with Christ and leading in that sense. And so everything that he is doing is basically teaching Christ, but applied to whatever myriad of circumstances it finds itself. But Christ is kind of the prism that everything gets focused through.
Yeah, so no cookie cutter Christians there, but actually people who are passionate about Jesus. That's really exciting. So if we move forward to group three, who I think span this lovely front sleeve here. Titus 2. What should we glean from Titus 2?
That's all about teaching, and he refers to different types of people in the church. So there's elderly people, men and women, and the way that we should, the ultimate goal is to make the teaching about God attractive. So we should live in a way that reflects that, and teach one another how to live, focusing on the gospel.
And do you guys think about like what that looked like practically, like for us day to day? We're not really going.
Yeah, I guess you know how it looks like in church, because obviously in church it's made up of so many different types of people from all walks of life, so it's coming alongside people, encouraging them, but also not being afraid to be accountable to one another, but doing it in a loving way, because it's not just so that they conform to the way you want them to be, it's that you have God at the centre and he drives that teaching.
I think that's really helpful. So the God framing the nitty gritty. That's a wonderful thing. Any reflections on Titus 2 in this little section? Yeah, I think the only thing that Phil and I were discussing was actually the amazing intergenerationalness of it that Hannah kind of referenced, about the olders teaching the youngers. And actually the challenge, do we go and look for, like actually seek out older people in church and respect and respond to their wisdom? As older disciples who've walked further down the road, that's just a really practical, like really exciting opportunity. Hebrews, the first of those Hebrews passages, which I don't know which one you're on. Hebrews 10, what did you think?
That's the one that talked about meeting with each other and encouraging each other through that way, and that's like can quite easily be put into practical steps in today, and it is just a matter of like coming alongside people and meeting with them and like just keeping that going, and whenever things get busy and stuff, like just continuing with that anyway.
Yeah, thank you. It's that encouragement to do it, not just for the sake of it, but actually because it's an encouragement. That's a real joy. And then Hebrews 3, what should you think about that? Either table, jump in.
We were talking about how it requires like really close relationships with one another. Like it's talking about like recognizing like a sinful and unbelieving heart. And so we were saying like, you know, it's not enough to just like come on a Sunday and then go away again. It's about like knowing one another really well and investing in one another.
Anyone else want to add on that, or like practically what that's going to look like, or suggestions? Everyone's very shy today. It's really quiet.
Can we mention if it's not hungry?
Yeah, go for it. Thanks, David.
It requires, I mean, just what Jenny said, it requires openness, like the question, our own reception of discipleship, actually how able and willing are we to let people in to our own struggles, like what we find hard, or even more challengingly, our own sins, where we're disobeying. Because actually, sometimes people say, oh, I never get any help with situation X. So have you ever told anyone? So actually, for all of us, the challenge to be open, as well as to encourage others, is a big part of it, I think.
I think that's really helpful. And even, just like, really practically, if you guys are living in a Christian house, like this verse is all about like daily discipleship. It doesn't mean that like you go to see you together in church together and then you never ever have mentioned Jesus the whole of the week. That would be quite odd. But one of the joys of Christian house is that you can do that. You can build up that friendship, or with friends in halls, or yeah, like each day is an opportunity to point people towards Jesus. That's an absolute joy. So group four, far flung corners of the earth. Thoughts on Galatians.
We talked about the fruits of the spirit and admonishing people, so keeping people accountable. But also the way we do that practically is with gentleness.
Pretty helpful start, thanks Ben. Other thoughts?
Talk about commitment as well. Committed to
No, that's a really helpful one, isn't it? Because that idea that actually you're going to have to persevere, and no one generally is like, his it once, and it's like, you know what, you're so right, I'm going to change what I'm doing. But actually there's a commitment there, isn't there? To loving someone, to restoring them into following Jesus. That's really helpful. Other practical insights we got from that passage?
Being humble, not being conceited.
Yeah, grand. And why not? Like, why should we be humble from that passage?
Because we live by the Spirit and keep in step with the Spirit. The Spirit is humble and doesn't. Well, the Spirit directs glory towards Christ.
Yeah, amazing. And actually, the Spirit is our gift to do this. Like, we're not trying to do this Christian walk alone. Like, that is amazing in itself. We have the Spirit in us, so we're trying to walk with him, not work against him. That's a real joy. Any other thoughts on the Galatians passage? Anyone else can chip in, by the way, if you were burning desire to chip in. Yeah, I think the one challenge I found there, so for people who didn't read the passage, it's all about if your brother's in sin, then restore him with gentleness, which is what Ben is saying. But actually, that means, are we willing to challenge people? Like, do we really care about our friend's holiness? Or do we care more about them liking us and us having a nice life? Is a really, yeah, just a profound challenge that I have to keep coming back to. Yeah, where is our heart? Is our heart really for the eternity of our friends or for our social life? Put bluntly. back corner, final passage in Ephesians. What do you think?
Very practically, it looks like pointing each other towards the truth.
So
this passage was about false teaching and lots of different ideas being thrown around, and Paul wants to encourage them to stand firm by speaking the truth in love.
That's wonderful. Yeah, thank you, Ben. The idea of actually got to speak truth to each other, so gospel truth. Also means we should be listening to gospel truth. Just because your friend's a Christian and gives you a piece of advice doesn't mean it's right. Don't want to make a massive revelation there, guys. But yeah, like, are they actually speaking the truth? Are we as staff team actually speaking truth to you? Like, that's a wonderful point. Thanks, Ben. Any other reflections on that passage?
We also noticed that in the evening translation, there's this phrase, when each part is working properly. So you can't opt out of discipleship or discipling others because it affects everyone else as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, so actually when each part is maturing in Christ, when each individual is, actually the whole church as a body grows. So actually we've got a responsibility to one another to mature and to help each other mature. That's a really wonderful point. I think that's a great point to draw our little discussion to a conclusion. There is so much more we could say, really worth discussing and thinking about how this grounds in your life. But Phil and I have compiled a few top tips if you're feeling super daunted or super scared. So here we go. Is that a question or is that a suggestion?
It's a suggestion.
Okay.
She told me to look at you. I think it's, you guys can come and ask us for our top tips, I think, a bit later. You can see they're very short down there, but due to time, I think it's better we spend some time having some questions. I think that in some ways they're quite obvious, they're the top tips. You can ask us to expand if you don't, if none of them make sense. But let's have some time, first of all, just for some questions so that we don't cut that short. So, any questions on anything that we've said at all?
Can you give us practical ways that we can...
I think that is such a good question. Where we can.
Oh,
how?
Like how we
oh,
can,
how?
How
okay.
We can practice, like, so you said practice, like,
what do you
mean by that?
Did
you make
it
all start with P?
No. So I genuinely do think the most precious things at the heart of discipleship is prayer, genuinely. And that's because it's not down to us. It's not down to us to transform our friends into looking like Jesus. It's not down to us to get our friends there on the final day. It's down to God. And so actually by praying, we're bringing that to God. And so it's the most precious and the most powerful thing we can ever do for anyone who's struggling or who's doing well. Like, pray for your friends that they're doing well. They keep running. You know, living 60 years in the faith is really hard. Pray for them. And it's also amazing to pray with people, because actually I don't need to say I've got the answer or I can fix this awful situation, but I've got God who can. And together we can turn to God. And so that's just like... so easily done. You don't have to be a like super mature expert Christian to pray. You just have to love Jesus, and that's a gift. That was one top tip.
Okay, so we want to do the top tips three. Is that the question?
I don't know, but it's just like, what do you mean by practice is all my question.
Yeah, yeah. What does it look like to just generally practice discipleship?
Yeah.
I mean, I think in many ways, just taking all the opportunities you can to do it. So are you... are you on a long journey in a car with friends for 3 hours? And have you just been discussing stuff about what you find hard in the Christian life maybe? Well, as Kirsty said, why not pray for each other? I remember the first time I mentioned that we might pray together in a car. I mean, looking back, was it weird? I mean, I can't remember, actually. The thing I remember, though, is how in that one car journey... we grew closer as friends because we had been sharing our lives together and praying together. So, yeah. So what I mean by practice is just start doing it. It's gonna feel weird in a way until you actually make it part of your normal life. It's the more we are involved in one another's lives and speaking the truth to one another, the more we developing a culture in which that is just natural. It's natural to come downstairs after church and say, so what did you think of the sermon? How has that encouraged you in your feeling anxious right now with exams and stuff? And that won't be weird. And so just the more we do it, the better. That's what I meant by practice.
Do people have other questions or want to come back on that point?
Sorry. Samuel, sorry.
How do we know with our comfortable lives in St. Andrews now that we are denying ourselves and taking up?
Great question. I think a good start for that would be talking to a trusted Christian friend and asking them, asking them, in what ways do you think I am following Jesus and taking up my cross? Where do you think I can do that more? And just being really honest, because often there are things, I know for myself, a lot of the ways that I have grown as a Christian has been from talking to other people. And then helping to see where I'm keeping my life to myself and where I need to give it more to Christ and let him take the helm, as it were. So I think that's a really good start, is just getting other people involved in that. And spending regular time in God's word also helps to reveal that. It's God who speaks through his word, by his spirit, who illuminates areas of our hearts and helps to challenge us. Where we need to deny self and where we need to put Christ first. So I think those would be my two. Kirsty, anything to add?
Yeah, I think it's just an attitude thing, isn't it? Of like, are we denying ourselves and seeking Christ in that situation? So actually often in our head there'll be a, okay, if I'm just doing what Kirsty wants, I'll do this. I mean, you wouldn't think that, you'd put your own name in. And then if I want to do what Jesus thinks, actually I'll say this. And so for instance, in that conversation with that friend, denying yourself might actually be like making that conversation awkward by being like, actually, I really don't think this is how Jesus wants you to live. That would be an example of going out, stepping out in faith, thinking, actually, I'm going to deny myself here and promote Jesus.
Well, yeah, all of these things, I would be really happy to chat more afterwards and just, well, yeah, grab any of us members of staff, grab each other and continue to talk about these things. A lot of this is something that we need to just work out together. Two more questions, maybe? Yeah, roughly. Yeah, awesome.
I have more of a statement question. but no, kind of staying on to what Hamish was saying about a lot of times we want people to disciple us, but then we're not actually open. And then, but I think even going a bit further, sometimes we can be open, but then not, I think it would be helpful to invite people and say, what do you think? Even as something as simple as that, because I think often we are very hesitant to want to give advice or to guide people because it's we feel like, oh no, they're going to think that I'm trying to be holier than them or whatever. So I think often it starts with yourself inviting people in by opening up and then saying, what advice would you give me? Or how would you, what do you think? And then it would make it less awkward when they're talking, where you could then give them advice knowing they gave it to you first. That was a statement.
No, there was no question actually. No, it's really helpful to remember that we are all sinners who are saved sinners. In that there's no hierarchy there. We're all banding together, and as we push forward and we grow in Christ, and that humility and acknowledgement of our own weaknesses and acknowledging that to each other does really aid in sharing life together. Anyone else? Rachel?
On the topic of health preparation, and a lot of what we've been talking about is like kind of just living life alongside each other and pointing between each other to Christ in what feels like quite a not prepared way, just a way of consistently being ready to speak to people, So how can we be preparing for the situations that are more difficult? What's a good way of preparing for when your friend comes and has a really difficult question or
whatever? So from personal experience, sometimes you actually have to do a lot of prayer and you have to work it out in your own life, because sometimes you think, actually, this, I can see this in a friend, but actually this might be in my heart, so I need to work through this myself. Prayer, sometimes it's looking at what does the Bible say on this issue. Tends to be people don't necessarily... people's lives aren't simple, people's problems aren't simple, and actually it takes a lot to work out what does God really say, and actually we've got that in the Bible, and actually working that out so that you think, okay, how can I explain this to him, how can we see that? And so actually that might take prayer and study the Bible and working up to it, so that actually when you come to that conversation you aren't just kind of like reacting, you're actually responding biblically and with a real heart for them to be either restored to Jesus or just kind of slightly redirected back to Jesus. Does that help?
And I think if I can just add to that, often we don't know when these kind of conversations are going to come, which is why that Colossians passage chapter 3 was so helpful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. If we're not dwelling in God's word, if that's not feeding us and filling us up continually, then we're going to be a bit dry when it comes to someone asking us a tough question, or we're realizing, oh, we need to say something to a friend, actually. But if we're continually feeding on God's word, then that should be, then a natural overflow would be sharing what we have learned, what is challenging us with one another. And half the time I found that it's not always just a specific verse I've planned or something to share with someone. It's just what I've been reading today that has encouraged me, that has grown my vision of Christ, can be the most helpful thing just to share with someone else, regardless of what... the situation is.
Can I chip in with a wee example from a few years ago, and back to Peter's question, which is a good question. A younger man who had only not long been become a Christian had texted me one day and asked me just how I was doing. And I texted him back and and said, I'm really sick, and I've been not been able to eat, and I've been out. And rather than just saying, oh, I'll pray for you, or saying, oh, you know, all things work out or whatever, he took a chance in faith, and he came to my door, chat my door, got me out of my bed to open the door to him, and he's taken the time and the trouble out of his day to prepare a meal for me so that I could eat. And I can't tell you how encouraging that was, because I was at a low place, and that was the love of God expressed in me. So just something as simple as that, and you guys have all the exams and assignments coming in. You know, if you know that someone else is really stressed out with their workload and whatever like that, just make them a meal, you know, go around and make them a cup of tea. And that's discipleship.
I think that's a really helpful, John, and a good note for us to end on. Kirsty is just going to pray for us, and then we'll have some final closing instructions of housekeeping.
Grand. Let's pray. Dear Father God, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you so much that he has offered us salvation and offered us the fact that we can be transformed into being like Christ, into one day glorying with Christ. And Father, I thank you for the great privilege of Christian brothers and sisters and the privilege it is to do life together, to walk through it together. And I just pray that you might help us think through how we can better disciple one another, how we can better love one another and encourage one another in our faith. Please give us hearts of prayer and thanksgiving to you. Amen.
Very good. Thank you, everyone. Just